This is On the Couch, your connection to the world of mental health. Exploring all things related to daily living. Your hosts, Benny Massey, LPCC, and Earl J. Bell, LCSW.
And here we are again, another episode of On the Couch. My name is Earl J. Bell, LCSW.
And I'm Benny Massey, LPCC, and you are on the couch. And before we get started, I just want to encourage you all, if you want to give us a call, the number to reach us is 917-889-3093. Again, that number is 917-889-3093, and we can take any questions or comments that you want to offer to us.
When you call in, you will be on hold. You'll be able to listen to the show through your telephone. So give us a call.
And today we've chosen the topic of bullying. Most of us have experienced some type of bullying, but first let's try to define the term. Earl, what would you say bullying is?
Well, I think the thing about bullying that, you know, is tantamount to anything is, first of all, there has to be an imbalance of power. And I know that sounds kind of clinical, but, you know, if we break it down to something simple, it would be like if you go to the playground and you have the popular kids and the nerdy kids. You know, the popular kids might be the ones who are in control and power at the time, you know, based on what's going on within the school structure.
Okay, I would agree with that. And do you think bullying takes place only in schools? Or, no, you had mentioned schools. Is that an area where it's a heightened concern?
Yeah, I think it is, especially here recently. You hear a lot of, you know, kids who are being bullied in schools, the public schools, even private schools. It happens everywhere. And I think the important thing is that, you know, is more people become aware of what bullying is and also, you know, how to respond to the bully and also how to respond to the victim of the bullying. I believe people become more aware to notice the bullying. And mm-hmm. So, therefore, there's a heightened awareness of it, especially within the school system.
Okay. And I think you had mentioned it's an imbalance of power. I would call that somewhat control, trying to take control or take the power away from someone else and use it to the advantage of the person who is bullying. I just wonder, I know in my sessions, I try to empower my clients to take that power back and stand up, be more assertive, stand up for yourselves, make eye contact, be firm, don't cower, but not to push back aggressively, because I believe that can only spark the fire even more and cause more problems.
That's a great point, Benny. All too often when a bully is met with aggression, you know, not only does the bully get in trouble or hurt or, you know, in trouble with the law, also that puts the victim in the position where that they have to answer or why they were aggressive toward another individual. And, you know, in society, we like to think that we can resolve things, conflicts or issues in an appropriate, civilized manner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. So In my therapeutic sessions, I try to empower my clients on, you know, being firm, maybe calling the person off to themselves. You don't want to try to address the bullying in a group or a crowd of people.
Can you tell us why, Benny? That's a great point. I hadn't thought of that.
I think it only, again, feeds the fire with comments from looker-oners or however you want to call them, people looking on, people wanting to see more than what you're really trying to do, which is resolve the problem.
And I guess in that situation, if you do have the onlookers who want to make comments, it could also feed the bully as well. If they start, you know, oh, look, he's, you know, wanting to call you off to the side. You don't have to do that and those kind of things. Does that also empower the bully a little bit
Absolutely.
More?
Absolutely. I think it could. Okay. I agree with that, yeah. Yes.
Because I do think one thing that is, it's not actually in the definition of bullying, but I do believe the bully gets a certain amount of power and control from the onlookers as well, you know, because it gives him the power and control over the group. If you stop and think about it, you know, if you're being bullied by me and all your friends are sitting there watching, all I have to do is cause you to cower And then I've got control of your friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So, again, I encourage those individuals that I work with to call the person to the side, be respectful. Can I please talk to you for a second or a minute? And when you get them to the side, because most people will speak with you one-on-one, I would just let them know, you know, can you cut me some slack? I feel overwhelmed. I'm going through a lot. You know, you got to make the eye contact. You got to let them know, I don't want any beef. I don't want any problems. I'm just trying to, you know, handle my school and go about my life. And, you know, if we can't be friends, that's fine too. But can you just lay off me? Usually when the person is able to do that and genuinely do that without telling them, you better leave me alone, you better not open your mouth again, threatening them, the bully will digress or pull back and move on. That's not always the case, but that is usually the case.
And I think one thing that's important about bullying that we need to mention as well, if the incident only happens one time, that's not really considered bullying. I think a lot of times, you know, somebody could pick on somebody one time, and we need to realize that that is just a separate episode. Now, if the bully continues to, you know, pick on the person and agitate and do the bullying behaviors repetitively, then that's where it becomes a bullying situation as well. You know, if you're sitting there and I just tell you I don't like your shirt and it's ugly and everybody laughs, that's not really bullying. But then the next day, if you come back and I make fun of your shirt because it has a hole in it, or just continually to make fun of you or make bullying type comments, that's where it becomes bullying more so than just a single episode.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I really would. I think today we're raising a lot of young people who are very hypersensitive to jokes and, you know, mishaps where they feel like they're being singled out. And I think that a lot of times it can be squashed really quickly if you can laugh at yourself, if you can make fun of yourself, if you can take it lightly and not be so quick to categorize it as bullying.
But I think one thing also along that same line, when you do laugh at yourself as well, I think that has to come from a sincere place of knowing that you're not what the bully is calling you. You're not the names that they are calling you. Like if they're calling me goofy and fat and ugly, I can make fun of myself that way. But it's important for me inside to really know I'm really not fat, ugly, or goofy, you know?
I would agree. So that's important. I would agree. And I think because you initially said that if it happens once, and that's where I mean you should try to laugh with them and laugh at yourself. If it's continuously going on, that's not the way you would handle that.
Right, and that's a good point too, because if it happens one time and you can diffuse the situation after one episode, then
right,
hopefully the bullying will not continue. I want to give that number out again for our callers, listeners. Our number is 917-889-3093. Give us a call if you have any comments about bullying, if you've been a victim of bully, or also if you're a bully, give us a call.
I would like that. I would definitely like to hear that. Or if you've been bullied and you have a ingenious way that you handled it, or you tried to deal with it, we'd like to hear that as well.
I think one thing that is really big out there now as well, because of just the day and time of where we are, is bullying on social media. What are your thoughts about that, Benny? Because that's kind of a new phenomenon. You know, I mean, Facebook's been around, 10, 15 years maybe? So if you go back before that, there was no Facebook to bully another individual. But now you can do it on Facebook, Twitter, or any type of social media. What are your thoughts?
I personally think it could be even more powerful than bullying face-to-face or in the schools now.
Can you tell me why, though?
Well, because our society has turned to the social networks. And as much as adults enjoy keeping up with friends, old friends, kids don't go out and play and don't have those personal one-on-one connections that they used to have. So social media is very important. The likes, the comments that they get on their posts are very important. And they can also hurt if they're mean or untoward.
Well, and that's a good point, too. If I want to bully an individual, then I can find that individual on Facebook, post my comment, And within seconds, that comment can be seen by thousands of people. Whereas if we're sitting in the schoolyard, there's probably only going to be about 20 other individuals around that's going to hear my comment. So it gives the bully a bigger platform, is what I'm hearing.
A huge platform. And when you post those comments, then you get those other people to chime in. So you're getting more feedback and more, it could be a negative or positive, it's coming through and you're exposed to seeing it and reading it, and you know other people are reading it as well.
And so that's the thing about Facebook as well. Not just Facebook, we're not singling out Facebook, but social media. The comments that will follow after the initial bully makes the comment, you know, because that can add layers to the bullying, because a friend on Facebook or social media can join in and start bullying the individual as well.
And right.
So, whereas in the playground, again, I go back to that, it would be the bully and just the victim and maybe a handful of others around who will join in. Whereas on social media, it allows for more people to join in and be a bully as well.
Absolutely. And it ridicules you. I mean, you might be physically scared of things at school. They might hurt me. They're going to take my lunch. But social media opens up a different beast or a different thing that you have to deal with. And it spans beyond, you know, that personal realm, and it opens it up to the point where you have people thinking about harming selves, suicidal thoughts, even maybe harming other people. So this is an area that we need to keep an eye on and we need to educate people on.
I think from the perspective of a parent, how can a parent know if their child is being bullied? What are some signs and symptoms to watch for? Because, I mean, it can obviously have long-term, you know, consequences, like you said, you know, the depression, the self-harming behaviors. But how can you tell if my child is being bullied?
I think some isolation, staying to themselves, loneliness, withdrawn. Those are some key aspects to pick up on. If you're asked, trying to engage with your loved one, your child, and they're not involved, it can be some red flags.
And I think a lot of times children will be kind of hesitant to speak up to parents, school teachers, for fear of being embarrassed.
I'd agree with that, yes. They don't want to bring attention to it. It would be best to try and diffuse it and let it go. So I think it's best to address it to bring it out to the surface, but a lot of times it causes more stress than it's worth.
But I do believe it's also important for the parent of the victim to reach out to others and gather as much information as possible, you know, like from your child's friends, your child's teachers. What are they seeing at school? Are they noticing any changes in your child? Are they noticing any bullying that might be going on? Because I like to think that we've moved beyond the whole thought process that bullying is just kids being kids. Because I know if you talk to people from back in the 50s and 60s, there was that, you know, sarcasm and that kind of behaviors, and everybody just said, well, those are kids being kids, they'll grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with the advent of social media, it adds another layer to it as well, because it's more prevalent.
Yeah, and
it is more than just kids being kids. And a lot of times kids don't grow out of it, and unfortunately the victim can suffer long-term mental illness.
Yeah. And there are some other things. I know one suggestion that I made was to call the bully to the side and have a heart-to-heart, a genuine conversation, and just let them know, you know, your expectations, what you would like to happen. But another thing that we encourage here in therapy is planned ignoring, and that's just to be able to cut them off, not show that they're getting under your skin. Almost like they're not even talking to you. You don't know who they're talking to. That can be hard. It can be very difficult to do. And you get a lot of hecklers if you're in a crowd of people who will chime in that can make it even more difficult.
And one thing that's really important to go along with the planned ignoring is if you are being bullied and you practice planned ignoring, obviously, it's like Benny said, that's going to be difficult for you to do. And you're going to have those feelings and emotions inside related to it. It's important to find someone after the bully's left, or when you walk away while you're doing the planned ignoring, find someone to go and talk about how you feel with the bully who is making those comments toward you. It's great that you were able to ignore the bully, but you need to be able to get those feelings and emotions out.
You have to be able to process and exactly. have someone to lean on. So I would agree with that.
Because I think all too often, and going back to what you said, Benny, was that sometimes the victim will engage in self-harming or depression or different other types of inappropriate coping mechanisms. That's why if they can externalize the feelings rather than internalize it and turn it against themselves, there's a better chance for them to get the help and not go quite down the road of self-harming or other situations like that.
So supports are very important. If you all can find that in someone, a friend, a family member. Also, if you could, please remember our lines are open. We're at 917-889-3093. Again, 917-889-3093. And let us know about your personal experiences, or maybe some teachers are listening. How do you handle bullying? What do you see in your schools? Is it the problem that so many people think it is, or has it really switched to the social media aspect, and are you all getting more of that nowadays?
And that's the important thing as well, is for schools, teachers, principals, counselors to have a plan of what they will do when they see a child being bullied. Obviously, it can't be set in stone concrete because each situation varies and is different, but they need to have some type of outline or plan of what to do if they notice little Johnny or little Susie being bullied down the hall, instead of just ignoring it and hoping it will go away, because all too often it doesn't just go away.
Right, right. No, it's not going to just go away, and it has to be addressed. And the longer you or anyone allows it to go on, the more it intensifies and grows. So it needs to be addressed. I encourage teachers. That's been always one of my biggest pet peeves, is seeing someone get bullied. So I am the first to go up and try to engage the bully. And I still don't try to do it too forcefully. I don't want to mesh their aggression with aggression. I just want to engage them and talk to them about, you know, how if they can address it differently, or maybe just leave the person alone, but not to go that route.
And we've talked a lot about, you know, the victim being bullied and different ways to cope with it and manage the situation. I guess we need to also address, what are some common characteristics of a bully? You know, I mean, because obviously there has to be something that you can look for in a child who's doing the bullying. And what are some behaviors that might show up if we notice someone who is a bully?
Well, I think one would be, well, many people would think they lack empathy. They don't care. And I would say a big one is they're hurting, and so they push that hurt on other people. That's a simple way of saying it. But a lot of times when I work with identified bullies, it is that I don't care attitude, that I don't care mentality. And it's difficult to try to treat that and help move beyond that, because you got to get to a point in a place where you do care. And most of them do, but it's difficult. It can be difficult to reach that.
Yeah, and also I think a bully also will look at, you know, a violent act or violence from a positive perspective, whereas the majority of people in society today, kids, adults, really do not think violence is something that's positive and something that's pleasurable. And a bully will often look at it from a positive perspective, you know, kind of like a type of entertainment, you know, to where that they can, you know, bully someone and it makes themselves laugh and it makes them feel good about themselves because they're putting someone else down. And, you know, it's kind of an immediate gratification.
It's empowering.
It's empowering.
It's very empowering for them. And maybe that's a place where they can get that power that they can't get at home, or they can't get with other people, when they assert that authority or that aggression. It puts fear and submissiveness from other people, so they feel empowered and strong.
And you mentioned something that they might not be getting at home, and that too brings us to, you know, what can be going on at home with the families of the bully. And there are some studies that show sometimes within the home environment, the parents aren't really showing the bully, the child who is the bully, warmth, and, you know, they're not really involved in the child's life. And a lot of times, and you know this as well as any other therapist, a child, if they don't have that structure, they have a feeling of loss of control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more involved the parent can be, first of all, they will notice the child is showing these tendencies to be a bully, but also they can show the child what it's like to have empathy. They can model the appropriate mm-hmm. behaviors. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Do you think, Earl, that bullying is transferred from parents? I mean, do you think that a lot of these youth or younger people pick it up from the what they see?
Nature versus nurture is where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do believe there is an aspect of bullying that is learned because, you know, children model what they see. And if they might not see their parents being bullies with each other, but if they are watching TV shows with, you know, the type of aggression and the bullying type behaviors, then they can take that as well. First of all, though, I'm not saying television causes bullying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that that can be somewhere where the child will learn the behaviors that they can use to become a bully.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And again, that's the old nature versus nurture question. And we could sit here all night and probably have 10 different callers, and all 10 of them would have different opinions on
mm-hmm.
nature versus nurture. But there are studies that show that kids learn from modeled behaviors from their parents.
Do you believe that corporal punishment can increase the likelihood of bullying?
You know, I'm not sure about the link between corporal punishment and bullying, but corporal punishment does model aggression
mm-hmm.
toward a
mm-hmm.
child as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you stop and think, if little Billy does something inappropriate and you spank them, then little Billy is learning in a not so subtle way that if something goes wrong, it's okay to reach out and strike someone.
I can see that. I can see that connection. If the kid in class continues to be disruptive, why can't I hit him?
Exactly. Totally. Yeah. Or if I don't like what you're doing, I can hit you to get you to stop what you were doing. And that's where the whole corporal punishment discussion is beyond my pay grade at this moment. I mean, we may have to do a show on that one day, Benny. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we need to cover that.
Yeah, and I do want to put this out there. As far as corporal punishment, there are probably as many opinions about it as there are people. So if you have a specific opinion on corporal punishment and would like to be a guest on our show, drop us an email at listentoonthecouch@gmail.com. So anyway.
And also, I wanted to let you all know, we did have a caller before, and we were able to send that special person out on the couch t-shirt, and we also have on the couch mugs, and we give these out to special people. So, again, our number is 917-889-3093. Call in, comment, or a guest that wants to come in and sit with us and give us some feedback or guidance for our listeners. We are more than happy to have you on.
Yeah, definitely, because this show is put on by us, but it's meant for you, the listener, and we hope you get something from it as much as we get from doing the show. So now that that's said, give us a call. And one thing to get back to the whole aspect of bullying that we kind of need to explore as we wrap things up, is there a possibility that the bully can change their behaviors? Benny, what are your thoughts?
I would say absolutely.
Absolutely?
Absolutely.
Really?
I think bullying that's consistently going on, it comes from a hurtful place. So I think once you fix that hurt, the person has to be willing to first acknowledge that hurt and want to get help for that hurt. But I believe that once they are able to deal with whatever they're going through, they can stop directing that anger and that pain toward other people.
So it's important for not only the victim of the bullying to get therapy, but the bully as well.
Oh, absolutely.
What are your thoughts about the parents of the bully getting therapy? How would that help the bully himself?
Well, I think it could help them be a better guidance, be a better support. Just trying to figure out what they may have or may have not done to not rear the child correctly. And I don't want to say it's because I don't believe bullying springs from the parent and their raising or upbringing. But I do think, yes, having that support, having someone to talk to, and you can let them know what's going on with your daughter or son and how you can best help them could be a benefit.
Yeah, and you make a great point. There are different layers to what makes a bully. Obviously, we touched on earlier, can the parents model inappropriate behavior that the child picks up on? Definitely. But that in itself will probably not foster the bullying type behaviors within the child. There are probably other layers on top of that. And even if the parents are modeling appropriate behaviors, the child still could pick up those behaviors elsewhere other than from mom, dad, or in the home.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it comes from just empowering the child to let them know your strength is from your intellect. And, you know, I often tell my clients and the people that I work with is you can win any battle, but you have to use intellect. You know, brawn is only going to take you so far. Your strength is only going to take you so far. But there's nothing you can't accomplish if you slow down, if you think it through, if you come up with a plan. And I think that's what we have to kind of encourage victims of bullies to address that person. I always tell them, address that person. And it's not always going to work. I think 90% of the time it will if you go to the person. But not everybody can do this. Not every person feels comfortable doing this, and I understand that. If you can, talk to your parent, talk to a teacher, talk to someone who can help guide you to do that.
And I think before the child, the victim can go and confront the bully, as you put it, or talk to the bully, they have to be empowered as well.
Absolutely.
To let them know that, you know, you do have some power and control in this situation. This is one way to take a little bit of power control from the bully. And that's where the therapist comes in as well. Correct, Benny?
Yes, yes. You need to, oftentimes I let my, I know I've had parents come in even, and they say that their kids bully them. I feel like he bullies me or she bullies me. And oftentimes these kids are like 6 or 7. And I often tell, and it's mothers usually, I see some fathers, but usually it's mothers, I give them the analogy of the chess set and how the queen is dominant. She's the dominant piece on the chess set. She can move in any direction, as many spaces as she wants. And the kids are the pawns. And it's very difficult for a pawn to beat a queen, but it can happen. But it's hard. And so that's my kind of little spiel to get the parent to realize, the mother, how powerful she is.
And even in that situation that you describe, the child being the bully is attempting to assert some type of power and control.
Absolutely.
Over the parent as well. Okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's a great point as well to kind of bring up, since we're getting close to the end of the episode. Bullying doesn't just happen at school, although that was pretty much what we focused on today. I think it's important, as you said, bullying can happen elsewhere other than just in the school setting.
Anywhere, work, school, home. But the remedy is always the same. Empower the person, have them help them develop their voice, help them to feel strong enough to stand up. And strong does not mean they have to fight or become physical. It means that you want to be assertive and you want to let the bully know what you need for them to do.
And there are websites out there. One that I would strongly recommend is stopbullying.gov. That's stopbullying.gov. And that kind of wraps up our show for the day. I'll give Benny, I'll give you the last word. What would you like to end the show with?
I just want to thank you all for coming in and listening to us once again. We're here every week on Mondays at 8 p.m. We've not missed a week since we started. We're growing, and we appreciate you all. Please feel free to call in next week, 917-889-3093. We're always here, and we look forward to you.
This is On the Couch, your connection to the world of mental health. Exploring all things related to daily living. Your host, Benny Massey, LPCC, and Earl J. Bell, LCSW.